From Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Glory be to God. We thank God for and we thank God for the success of yesterday. I know that yesterday many people had encounters with God's word that brings transformation. When I spoke with some folks after the meeting, some individuals who just wanted to round up the meeting, and their testimony was just way out. One said they were looking for where to go and shout, to exclaim. It is encounter with the word of God that brings life. Let me tell you something. In the year 2018, God began to educate us. And he showed us that there is such a thing as prophetic destiny. And what is prophetic destiny? The destiny that God designed for you when you were born into the kingdom. It is written in prophecy. Clearly written in prophecy. Clearly written in prophecy. Every one of you and every one of us had our normal course. As a matter of fact, Paul identified it. He said, in manner in which ye lived according to the course of this world, being governed by the elements of this world. But now you are redeemed. So we saw it that there is what an individual becomes, should be, when he is in Christ. We have a very popular scripture of the Bible, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. But what we don't understand is that the new creation is not a blank book. It's not a blank slate. The new creation has information written about it. The new creation has identity. When a man gives birth to his child, he says the name of the child is John. And that when he grows up, he will be a medical doctor. He will school in this place, and if God blesses him, he will send him abroad. That is a man making plans. When God gave birth to you in Christ and said, now you are a new creation, he didn't say, okay, now go and be anything you want to be. There was what he wrote about you. Which is why the psalmist says in the book of Psalms that I come in the volume of the books as it is written of me. He could tell that something was written about him. And that was a prophetic psalm, because he testified about Jesus. But if you look at that particular psalm, Psalm 40 verse 7, you will realize, if you look at it in other translations, one translation said, somewhere in this book, someone wrote about me. Of course, it is you also that someone wrote about. So we saw the destiny of a whole people, that it is written in prophecy, because when they became new creations in Christ Jesus, it was not an empty slate. It was a new creation that had a new name. I hope you know you have a new name. Some of you don't know your name in the realm of the spirit, but you have a new name. You have a name in the realm of the spirit. You have a name, you have an identity in the spirit. But apart from a new name, further on, you have a new purpose. He said he saved us not according to our own callings, not according to our own purpose, but according to his own grace and purpose. So you have a new call to a purpose. That is, there are things already detailed about you, sir. When you gave your life to Christ, your name is John, your name is Joanne. In heaven, they are assigned to you. Let me tell you something. If you ever go to the bank to switch your ATM card, you will see a piled or ATM cards piled up on the desk. They are dummy cards. That is, they are blank cards. Now, you fill a form and you meet the customer representative and say, I want to get a new card. What's wrong with your card? Misplaced it. It's expired. God damage, whatever. They pull out one of those blank cards and insert it into the card reader. And then they ask you what, in short, they don't ask anymore. You fill the form, they see your account details. They now wire your information into that card. And they ask you, go. This is now your card. Now, that card that could have been yours, that is now yours, could have been anybody's card. What makes it yours now is because they have wired your information to it. They have linked your information, your account number, which breaks it down to show all your database, your name, the current balance on your account. Before it was inserted into the card reader, it was a blank card. But once he entered the machine and they rewired it to have your identity, it took on a new. Some persons think they are like that ATM that is a blank card. If a man be in Christ, it's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. He didn't say all things have become blank. Right? He didn't say all things have become empty. He said all things have become new. It shows you that there is substance in the new creation. If you say all things have become empty, there's no history and there's no future, then you can say we can start inventing our purpose as we go. But you say everything now has become new. There is a purpose for it. It means new purpose, new grace, new calling, new vision, new meaning, new cause for living, new identity, a new name, new possibilities, new power, new abilities, new capacity, new connection, new future. As a matter of fact, new entirety. The entirety of the individual is now new. Some still think that their new birth is like the blank card on the desk. But no, sir. The same way the customer rep in that bank wires your details into that card and makes a blank card now your card, it's the same way when you became a new creation, they wired heaven's details inside of you. New individual. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. But a new creation is not a blank slate. A new creation is a new individual with new things written about him. The pursuit of your life and the purpose for which you will live is to find out what that new creation is. Some persons stop at the new creation. That's why they think they are supposed to be blank. They do not realize that the new creation is supposed to proceed onwards to find what is written about them. Any man being Christ is a new creation. Again, I submit to us that a new creation is not a blank slate. The detail, the information, the data about this new individual is what is referred to as destiny, that is prophetic. Prophetic in the sense that it was already written before he came. Now, it means that his destiny had been prophesied before he was born. My God. They said, the virgin shall conceive and have a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. The person was yet to come close to almost a century later. But they had pronounced him and announced his birth. That is new creation. But the life he was supposed to live had already been heralded before his emergence. That destiny, the destiny of the Messiah on earth was prophetic. It proceeded all through to be a fulfillment of prophecy. If you are children of the Messiah, your own destiny will not be any different. We saw this, that it just opened up. Say, there is the prophetic then. And we said, we began to seek how to enter. How do we enter this? Because if you don't, it's not by accidental access. It's you walk into it with conscience. You know when you have entered it. And God said, it is through the revelation of my word. He's said, what? Say, yes, you enter destiny in me when my word is made known to you. God. And then he opened up the book of Psalm 20, 1 Samuel chapter 9. Look at Saul. The Bible began to unfold. The scriptures began to unfold. Look at Saul. A man living in his father's house, led outside of it because asses and donkeys had gone astray. He had nothing close to being a king. He was far from the kingdom. They had sworn an oath on Judah, Genesis 49, that the scepter will not leave the tribe of Judah. So he didn't qualify. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. But then, is to be king, they had to start orchestrating his step. And they orchestrated his step to meet a man whose profession was to keep the word of God. They call them the prophets. They keep the word of God. They are stewards of the mysteries of God, his word that is hidden. And they led him. But you see, the missing donkeys were not an accident, because God spoke to Samuel as revealed in the word. He said, at about this time tomorrow, I will send a young man to you. Saul couldn't even hear God. So they had to orchestrate his life by missing donkeys. Some of you are here today to hear the word. You didn't hear the voice of God say, join this broadcast, join this session going on. But by orchestration, you were led here. Now, like Saul, you are encountering God's word. So he said, I will send you a man this same time tomorrow. You will anoint him. Saul didn't hear God. He was led by donkeys. But it was divinity. Divinity had encroached into his daily life. And they were using his daily life to coordinate his destiny. Just like how some of us, your daily life today led you to this platform. And he met the prophet. The prophet detained him. Say, have supper with me. And he sat in the assembly with about 30 others. And they sat down to meet. And the following day, he said, I will let you go. And then in chapter 9, about the ending verse, that's verse 28, 27, 28, 29. He said, now ask your servants to go. Then he said, you stand still that I may show you the word of God. Jesus. At that instance was Saul's transition from being a nonentity, a mediocre, an ordinary man, to being a candidate for kingship. Stand still that I may show you the word of God. And the prophet began to speak. Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? He said, as you proceed from me today, you will see some men telling you that the donkeys that you have gone out to seek, they have been found, and your father have left care for the donkeys and is sorrowing after you. He began to give him prophecy. He said, you also see two men. They are going at the first ones were at the sepulchre of Rachel. The other ones were carrying a kid, and then loaves of bread and wine. He said, they will give it to you. And say, afterwards, you will meet a band of prophets going up to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is. He said, there you will come under the power of the influence of the Spirit. And there's going to be a trap. All happened at the frequency of the making known of God's counsel. That day, Saul entered destiny of royalty. He became, as it were, a new creation. You know why? If any man be in Christ, that day he became in Christ. How? Christ is the revealed word of God. He experienced, as it were, a new birth, because the word was made known to him. He transited to being a new creation. From the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest of the tribes, he came forth. Why? The word of God was revealed to him. So God said, the word of God began to speak. God spoke through that word saying, the destiny of the prophetic, you will enter it at the place where the word is revealed to you. Makarake sombalakta. Which is why Paul cried in the book of Romans. He said, how can they be saved unless someone preaches the gospel to them? You didn't hear Jesus confirming the same word. He said, the law and the prophets were until now. He said, now the kingdom is being preached, every man presses in. Why did the pressing begin when the word was being preached? Because when he declared the kingdom, access was given. At the place of the revelation of God's word, there is transition into the destiny in Christ. We said the other day, a couple of weeks ago, that your destiny in Christ is only as real to you to the extent to which Christ is real to you. Some persons do not get or comprehend when I mean destiny in Christ. It is only a reflection of to the extent, or a reflection of the extent to which Christ himself is real to you. Because when Christ is real to you, you will know that he has an assignment over your life. So that when I say destiny in Christ, it's a height you can relate with. Tonight, I see many destinies in Christ. This night is the beginning of their unsealing. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray. Just go ahead. Let's talk to God in your spirit. Malakosh ketele brutons. Ziko ratabash shekoto ribabash. Mantale brohonko satala baba yekosh kitalaba. The extent to which your destiny in Christ is real to you is only a reflection of how much Christ is real to you. When you see the Christ, the first thing you acknowledge is there's a burden in his heart, there's a work he wants done. Saul saw the Christ in his revelation, Damascus, Acts chapter 8, when he took up the letters and he was proceeding. And when he saw that light that struck him from that, his means of transport, he said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the God, the pricks. And then at the end of that interaction, the apostle asked a question, what will you have me do? Now I want to ask you, what has the Lord assigned to you to do? You can't say you are a follower of Christ, you wear the t-shirt up and down. What is your assignment? What are you doing? Or you say, yes, I serve in church. I mean, you see, that's the work of the call of your life. What did God say you should use your lifetime for? That's at another heart. Because you may serve in the house of God, which is good, but you don't live in the house of God. That is, so you are not in your church now. And I'm very sure if I ask, take a survey now, some of you didn't go to church today, because today is Saturday. Some of you were at home. You will go tomorrow, but as for Monday, I'm not sure if you go on Monday. So if your life is to use to serve only in church, what happens to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? So it's one day on 6 days off. No. Your life, which you live in the church, outside of the church, is to serve purpose for Christ. What is the work? Every man must know the Lord for himself. Jesus said, God spoke in prophecy and said, see, they will not say to this one, know the Lord, for everyone shall know me. Every man will have to know Christ for himself, by himself. Test and see that the Lord is good. Koshanda leporotosh shadalabakasukata labratakash. Let's go ahead, let's give God praise. Teleborotosh matalabakasuke teleprebakasikorosh. Father, we worship you. Be thou exalted. Thank you. And thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God. We are going to proceed this evening. But before we proceed to what we have to talk about this evening, I want to ask just a question, and please let us not delay, because we are here to fully step in. Do we have any report here right now from yesterday from the people that are here? Glory to God. Let's give that opportunity at this point in time. Perhaps at the end of the day we may not have the time. So we can take one or two, at the most two, three. Can't be more than that for this time being. So do we have a report from the people that are listening to us now from yesterday? Glory to God.
Yes, sir. A testimony, sir. Praise God. So I have a testimony. So last night, during the evening session, when we were worshiping, and then you said, some of us, you said the presence of angels were around us, like maybe 5 seconds before you said that. I don't know, I just started crying. I don't know why I was crying, why I was weeping. And then after, I was feeling sick that evening. I was having very, very serious headache. It was very painful. I could barely open my eyes. During the course of the meeting, the headache started. It left like half of it. Then it became a migraine, because the whole thing was very painful. I could barely open my eyes. And then during the course of the meeting, the right side of my face, the headache stopped there, and it now rested on the left side, making it look like a migraine. It was too painful. And then after the meeting, I was like, since we've already been endowed with the presence of God, and I prayed and I asked God that the angels that were with me now, I asked for healing. And then I've never had this before, because the headache was so painful. And as I prayed that, it was like almost immediately I felt ease, like from the middle of my head. It just went, because I was even complaining. I went to my mom and she gave me some, she said I should take some, but I said no. I came back into the room again and then I prayed. And then it started from the middle of my my face, where the left side where I had headache, and it started easing until left. And I was like, God, Jesus. And I ran to my mom. I told my mom, this headache has gone. No, it just left like magic.
Praise. It's like something else when you experience an instant healing. We've been there many times, which is why we say that the grace, the gift that ministers healing, also ministers healing to you, that the carrier of the grace, according to God's design and will. Praise the Lord. So you could see that the angels ministered healing to her. And of course, there are angels that bring healing. The angel that worked with William Branham, we were saying yesterday, and the company of angels that he fellowshiped with, they were also healing angels. I mean, cancer will just go by a word of prayer. And that is excellent. It's just a mystery, the way when you, that's why she was shocked by it, because it's like you spoke to the realm and the realm answered you back with a response. Glory to God. You spoke to the realm answered you back with a response, and then healing was experienced. The thing is, it's just so awesome. Now, this is more like the second report of healings happening during the meeting. The truth of the matter is, there will be periods where we'll call for meetings for just healings. And there will be signs for it. There will be signs. Healings, there will be signs. People that are sick or any kind of affliction, just get on the call. It will be done. There will be times for it. Just that according to God's timing and grace, He has not said, all right, hold these kinds of operation yet. But you can already see people are partaking first fruits of it. Now, let me say this now. Anyone who is under the sound of my voice, having any affliction, whether it's or you have a relation or a relative of concern that is diabetic, and I'm speaking directly now to diabetes, a diabetic relation, somebody close to you, diabetic, you can stand in the gap for that individual now. Don't know why I'm going straight to diabetic, but you can stand in the gap for that individual now. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I curse diabetes down to the root in the name of Jesus. Right now on this platform, we curse it as a fellowship of God, stewards of divine mysteries and operating with it. We curse it to the root now in the name of Jesus. And we decree and declare, Father, we give you praise. And we decree and declare the regulation and the restoration of the blood sugar level to normal in the name of Jesus. And not just only that, either type 1, type 2, we decree restoration of the insulin operation in the body in the name of Jesus. Whatever is out of place, body not producing sufficient insulin or not even producing at all, and has to take a shot, right now we declare and decree restored to normal in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, anyone connected right now as we are speaking, and there is any affliction in your body that you can identify that this thing is an affliction, it's not a normal operation, as I speak right now, I decree and demand right now that you be healed of that infirmity in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever is not normal in your body, from the crown of your head down to the sole of your feet, whatever it is, you will not leave this table and this gathering tonight with it. It drops off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so therefore we declare and decree healings established, amen, settled,
amen,
liberty confirmed.
Amen.
In Jesus' most precious name we are prayed. There will be many more reports of healings. And please, the person with the word on the diabetic relative or the diabetic word on that, please confirm to us the report of normalcy being restored. We are waiting for the confirmation of that word. And not just the confirmation of the healing that accompanied it. And praise we give to God. Glory to God. We give God praise and thanks for this. There are other signs, there are other reports of encounter with the word of God. I want us to hear it, because we will use it to also teach. So start preparing it. We'll move on directly from now. But I want those reports with encounter with God's word. And also, not just encounter with God's word, the signs that followed the encounter with the word of God, so that interpretation can be brought, so that you can understand what is going on. Yesterday we talked about a lot of signs, and I gave you their interpretations. There are many of you that had encounters with the word. When you have an encounter with the word, it comes with a sign. The apostle said in the book of Luke chapter 24, he said, while he was speaking to us, our heart was burning within us. So their experience with the word from Christ resulted to an inflammation of their soul. Their heart caught fire inside them. That experience was an indication to them that the word that was coming was from the Lord. If they had paid sufficient attention, it would be like, this man, the experience we are having is the same way we experience when the Lord speaks to us. It's either this man is a messenger of God, or he himself is God. They would have known that the man was a prophet, or he was the messenger, he was the Lord himself. They had paid enough, but it was after the Lord had revealed himself. They say, no wonder, while he was speaking to us, our heart was burning. Luke chapter 24. So many of us had encounter with the word of God. Encounter with the word of God. It's at another level. And I pray you are able to make the most and put your words together so that clarity can come. Jesus is Lord. All right. Let somebody open the scriptures with the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8 and in verse 18. Isaiah 8 in verse 18. Glory to God. Isaiah 8 verse 18. Oh, please, if you are here tonight, wait to hear this word till the end. Something is coming your way. Glory. Jesus is Lord. Isaiah 8 verse 18. Please, let's begin already. You have a scripture, please open it. You have your devices, launch your Bible applications, and let us hear Isaiah 8:18. Jesus is Lord. It's taking us so much time. What is happening?
Isaiah 8:18.
Yes.
It says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord had given are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion.
Glory to God. God bless you. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, who dwell in Mount Zion. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you once again. We ask that this word is yours. Make it living in everyone that will hear, and those who will hear by virtue of connection to the audios. And even right now, let the flame kindle in their hearts. Let the fire kindle in their hearts, in their souls, in their spirits. Kindle that flame in them. That's a word for this evening. I will kindle a flame in their hearts. That's the word for this evening before we joined in. So there's going to be a kindling of flame in people's hearts. And in everyone's heart who is here, a flame will be kindled in your heart. Just watch as God unravels and administers this grace in this hour. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts. Yesterday we spoke about signs, and we were able to isolate some signs that people get to experience when once they come around this network. And we took out the time to also trace that these signs have their origin in the lives of fathers of the faith who had gone to glory, and even some who are present with us. And also we looked at the life of the man of God in scriptures. But let me give us this word. In this generation that we have come to, there is such a rise that God has ordained. And God has set specific kind of provision for certain kinds of people that he has found certain kinds of grace in him. We spoke yesterday and said that a man cannot be more than what the grace of God makes him to be. It's possible for him to be less than it if he does not walk in full obedience to the word of God and to the word of God for him. But it is not possible for him to be more than it, because we are limited by the level of grace that God has made available to us individually. So your limit is God's grace. So for you to find what is the limit of your destiny is to search out the limits of God's grace. If you find a limit, you have found your limit. If you do not find the limit, then you have no limit. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That is, everything I represent today, I can be known for today, is by the grace of God who makes me. The grace of God which found me and has made me to be so. There are people that God has raised in this generation. Beginning from 2017, I began to see the structure and the arrangement of a whole generation. And we were able by God's grace to trace it, to arrive at a place where we could now see it in detail. Listen, Father, give us grace again. Receive grace. There are certain kinds of ordination God puts in place. There are not many of them. I'm seeing like the number seven. There are seven individuals in the spirit. You know, the Bible talks about two anointed ones. They are not more than two. Zachariah saw them, they were two. John saw those same people in Revelation chapter 11. They were still two. So it means that those people are no more than two the last time scripture reported their existence. Which means that and the same description, these are the two anointed ones. These are the two anointed ones. You see that in the book of Zechariah chapter 4. And then Revelation chapter 11, the two anointed ones. The last time scripture reported, there have been two. Well, I don't know if they have increased the number, but as per revelation from scripture, Zechariah to John is close to 700 years. That is the book of Zechariah, the book of Revelation. It's about 700 years. So within that span of over a century, there have still been two. There are individuals, my God, that God raised and set within strategic places. There are seven of them. The reason why the number is no more than that is so that they can be structured. Out of those individuals, they will form a genealogy. My God, just pay attention. They will form a genealogy. They will form what? My God.
Genealogy.
Just pay attention. They will form a genealogy, an extension, a generation, traceable. You know, when you study the history of the church, and you study church history, you see Smith Wigglesworth, you see Reinhard Bonnke, Kalamash Katalaba, you see Lester Sumrall, you see John Wesley, you see men like John Gillick, you see the very Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, you see Maurice Cerullo, you see the great father, you see Archbishop Benson Idahosa, you see all of them. Let me tell you, in heaven, heaven has the structure of those people according to generation. Marker, you number all of them as fathers of the faith, but in the kingdom of God, they form a structure that defines flow of ordination and administration. That's why you see till date, the man Benson Idahosa is still reckoned with, because out of Africa he forms. Oh my God. Out of Africa, the race of this region, he forms a strategic individual out of heaven. My God. Let's go ahead. Just pray a little. Male protoko shakata la brata kadash. Is Peter J. Le prohush kandala brata kadash.
Rate brun soso farash kemene kabara baba babash. Je kete 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 pere kete pete kete kete pere kete pele kedesh. Mam brati ko rafenen krozaza varadias kolebresh kame mataya. Barakam ben bronzo sora babash kepe pepe leteba in kole brege dege 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 Ramadan brakate konzabe karash kemenato lenkrade karasozo rameman barash kamembora tembron susufayataya rakabababababababababo enkale brabrade kalembron susufarash mapele kabrakada balakade rabababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab
Amen.
You see, men. You see, you know, this is Lester Sumrall. This is Smith Wigglesworth. This is Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin. This is this individual. This is that. This is the Apostle Paul. Out of heaven, they define them according to a structure. The same way they spoke about the two anointed ones, they are also individuals that form the. That's a very strong English language, but I want you to get it. We have the two anointed ones. They are individuals that form the of a generation.
God.
Listen, in the new city of God, the foundation of the city bears the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The gates have the tribes. Listen, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. The names on the foundation won't be changed. The names on the tribes won't be changed. Those people formed the God. You didn't get it. They formed the in heaven. For eternity, there will still be the. In this ordination of God in this present time, there is also another day. It takes God's grace and mercy for you to find the structure to see how it is ordained. There is that configuration from heaven. That's what I'm saying. They are the seven. They are just seven. My God. They don't like seven. The number, it will not increase. It can't. Why? They form an ordination out of heaven to mirror a structure. Why were there 12 apostles and 12 tribes? Because they were consisting of a government. Listen, in the tribes of Israel, God pulled out the Levites. He said, you will not be numbered with the tribes. So the tribe became 11. So Jacob, out of wisdom, had to pull out two from Joseph. That's why you see the nation Manasseh and Ephraim. They don't mention Joseph. So they completed it back to 12. You don't get it. when God pulled out the Levites, they were the tribes were 11. He said, that's why you see they don't have inheritance on earth. Because everyone who is of the tribe, shorty will have inheritance. But when he pulled them out, they don't have inheritance. They were not of the tribe again. They belong to God. So they pulled out two from Joseph to complete the 11. So you see, you number the tribes, but you will never hear the tribe of Joseph. Out of Joseph's two sons, Jacob said to Joseph, he said, your two sons will be numbered with the tribes. Your two sons are like my sons. The rest will be your children, but these two are the sons of Israel. That is, those grandchildren became children. They skipped that generation. Or they sort of used them to rearrange it back. So they became 12 back. That same arrangement happened in the book of Acts. When they gathered in the upper room, when they were waiting for revival and the outpouring of the Spirit, they realized that they were 11. The apostolic structure was not in place. So Peter stood up and said, of sorty, somebody must fill up this slot. Yes, he said, because the one who was lost, the scripture had prophesied that he will go. So, but right now we can't be 11. The witness must be 12. So they casted lot to fill up the space. That was the last thing they did before the Holy Ghost came. Why? They gave recognition to they. Read Acts chapter 1. After that place, the next thing, chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came. Why? Government structure was in there. There is day in this generation. It's a sign and a mystery deep in the recess of the kingdom that there is structure out of heaven in the earth that will regulate the kingdom advance in this generation. There is day. Pray again so that you may comprehend. There is day. You see the man. Father, we give you praise. You see the man act Bishop Vincent Idahosa. I told you he formed a day in his generation. The date, his works. Some of you hear of him so much as though he lived in recent times. He died before the year 2000. I think he died in 1998. He was taken in 1998. But you hear his name as if he formed a day. Listen, I want to trace something for you now. If you trace all the people, the fathers of faith in Nigeria today, the people you can say are the key figures of the faith, they are all his sons. They are all his sons. The Bishop David Oyedepo of the Living Faith Commission, Pastor Chris Oyakilome of Christ Embassy. Just all of them, all the made, even the ones that you are not in, they have a link. And he left at, I think, 53. But he didn't die untimely. No. I saw the video of T.L. Osborne reporting his death. I saw the video of his wife testifying of his death. He told his wife, I have completed what God asked me to do. So his wife told him. It's his wife reporting. See, his wife told him, say, maybe go on a retreat. Go on a retreat. You will still discover that there are other things. He said, I have completed the assignment. I have completed the assignment that God sent me to do. The wife said, don't say that. Go on retreat. Maybe you will still find some other things. So in a gathering with his ministers, he asked for wine. Think pure heaven. And he drank. He was there and he drank it with them. And he told them, he said, I won't drink. The next time we will drink, I will drink with you and sup with you. Will be when we do it in the kingdom of heaven. And about that instance, he gave a sigh and bowed his head and left. What did he go 53? And how come his assignment was completed at 53? Jesus left at 33. The Son of God. Jesus himself was another D. I'm telling you now, out of heaven, there are still structures. I'm not telling anybody you will leave before your time. You can't. No, don't allow, no, you can't. I'm only just pulling out things for you. Pulling out some hidden files for you to just see their content. Out of heaven, heaven knows the organization of the kingdom in the earth. You think they are just many men of God. There are many people, men of God in quotes, who do not have orientation. They are just doing things because they are seen. Heaven knows those who form the structure out of heaven. Let me tell you. In Nigeria, we have the embassy of the United States. The government of the United States knows the structure of their embassy. They know who is the head of the embassy. They know who serves as the PR, the public relations. They know who serves as the head of security to the embassy. They have the structure of the organization, the embassy. Anybody in that embassy works for the United States government. They can tell you, they have the files, the records of every staff. For as long as you are a staff with them, a permanent staff, not like you are a freelancer with them or they call you to come and fix their air condition. You are a staff with them. They have your record. They know the structure. As a matter of fact, they are the ones who determine key positions that will affect the operation of the embassy from their government. So the United States knows the structure of their embassy. Do you think the kingdom of God, which is reputable for the most organized system in creation, will send forth people in the earth and say, institute my kingdom, and then people will just be living anyhow, doing, just jumping and building, just doing whatever they like? It's people that don't have discernment and not fully the will of God. But people who are in the stream of the river and can have access to the will of God know that out of heaven they have defined the order. There is the out of heaven. Out of heaven there is day. Now, these seven, these individuals, like I was saying, seven of them, they will form a genealogy out of heaven. They will form a principal stream and structure from which the divine order will be sustained and rest on, as though they are the pillars of divine government. This is hard class perhaps, but they form a system and a structure from which the mysteries of heaven will ride. I have been giving you a parable, and I showed you that in the book of Genesis, Jacob went to Bethel and slept and dreamt that angels were ascending and descending, ascending from heaven to the earth, from earth back into heaven on a ladder. He called that place the house of God. Jesus came and said, no. John chapter 1. He said, no. It won't be a ladder again. This time, it will be the Son of Man. That is, a living being will be the portal between heaven and earth. That is, there are people, literally angels, will use you to descend and use you to ascend. Makara Shukadalaba. That is, heaven will come down through you and ascend up through you. You know why? Wherever you go, the kingdom will be. There are individuals that will carry about the throne of heaven, the spirit of the thrones of heaven. Where you go, the mystery of heaven's rulership will be there. That is, your presence enough gives heaven occasion to cause a stir, to cause an outburst in a place. Because you are there, you may not even be aware. They are just descending from you. As how many of you have gone to a place, you sense so much manifestation of the presence of God, and you are wondering why it's occurring like that, and you are not even doing anything. You even try to pray, you sense your spirit is keep quiet. So you just remain still, and then mysteries are going on, you don't know. It didn't concern you, it was just an occasion for heaven to just carry out the assignment. It didn't concern you, they were just doing their stuff.
Father, we give you praise.
There is still day out of heaven. That structure will be defined. Listen, we are in the days of the kingdom of heaven. And the structure that the kingdom of heaven is forging in the earth is well defined. It's running on a system of strategy that heaven understands. God knows what he is doing. It's people on earth that are confused. God knows what he is doing. Let me say that again. God understands his plan. It's people on earth that don't have insight into it. God comprehends what he is doing. He knows what he is trying to do, and he knows what he is doing presently is accomplishing. It's you that don't understand. Let me make it personal to you. In your own life, God knows what he is doing. It's you that don't understand your life and understand what God is doing with your life. As for God, he is not confused. He knows what he is doing. I said about this day, these structures, that they will form a genealogy out of heaven in the earth. And that genealogy and generation will be earmarked. Look at where we read. He said, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given to me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwelt in Mount Zion." Does that look like the Archbishop Benson in the house to you? Does that look like him to you? They are not paying attention.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the days of Archbishop Dessa, you already know the testimony. When a pastor preached in church that Jesus Christ raised the dead, and that it's possible for anybody to raise the dead, he went on a motorcycle adventure. He rode a bicycle looking for a house where somebody died. He asked the pastor, "Is it true that anybody can?" He said, "Jesus raised the dead." He said, "Anybody can do it?" He said, "Yes, okay, I'm going to raise the dead." He ran around the village unsuccessful till at about later in the day, think about the evening, until he was able to find the house that somebody had just passed on. I say, "Is anybody dead here?" They say, "Yes, somebody just died." "Where is the person?" "See the person here." And after the first trial, the second trial, he said, "All right, let's do it like Jesus." And he asked them to give him space. And he raised the first dead, the first of many dead people in his life. Signs, wonders. He was the one whom the witches in Benin said the World Association of Witches said they will hold meeting in Benin. He said the meeting will not hold. The leader of the witches went on air and said that even if God comes down from heaven, cry, devil is a bastard. He said if God descends from heaven, the meeting will hold. the archbishop went back and told them that God will not need to come down from heaven. That is why I am here. That is a structure. He said, we don't need the president of the United States in Nigeria to speak about the affairs. The ambassador of the country is there. He said, God doesn't have, the meeting did not hold. History has it. It's there, clear. Listen, he was to use the crusade, a stadium for a crusade, and he clashed with a match the Sipa Eagles were having. And he said, your match, I think it was a friendly or what, is clashing with my program. I want to use it. They said, no, we can't. We say move it. He said, no, I won't move it. It's okay. In that case, you won't play that match. Rain will fall and disrupt. It rained until they couldn't use it. They had to call him and say, okay, you do your own first. And when he held it, I called them and said, now, you will win the match 2-1. And really, they won 2-1. Government. There was a woman who began to pester him. The woman had a daughter. I remember probably it's a daughter, not a son. The daughter didn't have eyeballs. So it wasn't like she was blind. No, she can't see. She doesn't have the instrument of vision. So the woman will pester him and say, come and pray for my daughter. So when he found out that this one is not blind, is that the girl was born with a defect in development, that eyeballs did not exist in her socket. So he said, this one is a problem at another class. So he himself used to avoid the woman. Say, oh, meet me here and you will not be there. Until one day the woman caught him in a meeting. She followed him for that sign. And then she said, okay, be in the service, miracle. He just in a way to discharge the woman. Sir, in the service, the girl came seeing. He himself was shocked. Eyeballs formed. Not the eye was healed. The eye was created again. Sign. Wonder. Now, he raised the likes of the father of the faith, Bishop Oyedepo. Taught them. They were schooled by him. Taught them the word. Taught them faith and signs. Sir, I saw a sign in Shiloh. I shocked. Somebody with an implant in his arm, a rotting bone, or iron attached to his arm, went for outreach and heard a voice. Go to bed. I want to work on you. He went and slept and woke up, saw the bone and the iron outside. Some new creation, sir. The bone and the iron was held before our eyes. The one who did the surgery left it. I am the children whom God has given to us. We are for signs and for wonders. The man of God, Chris Oyakhilome, he held healing on TV in the year 90s until they had to stop the program. The healings were too much. So they say, we have to stop this healing program. We don't understand this. They stopped him from broadcasting healing ministries. That he is his direct son. He raised him and showed him. The man of God you call, let me not be naming names now, but all of them, even Reinhard and Benny Hinn, I watched the video, the Archbishop laid hands on him. I watched that meeting. My God. Rabakashoko to Rubana Bratakatis. 3-day-old corpse, or was it raised from the mortuary? They had already embalmed him. The video is there. If you were in Large Chilo, you see it. It's not the bishop that prayed, it was a church member. When you see the video, you see him wrapped in white as though he was Lazarus. I'm showing you this scripture being fulfilled before. I'm just showing you times where it has been fulfilled through a man and his sons who have given birth to other sons and sons of whose sons you hear are all of. Now listen, there is the enaction of this scripture again. There is the enaction of this scripture again, that there is a father over a generation that is saying to them that me, as I am, I'm a sign from heaven. The children that will come after me and come from me, they will all be signs alike. Unbelievable signs. What is a sign? A sign is a statement. A statement first. A sign makes a point. Jesus himself was a sign. He said, ask ye, before they pronounced the prophecy of Emmanuel was a sign. Isaiah said to Ahaz, ask of the Lord a sign. Ask it in the height or in the depth. And he said, no, I will not tempt the Lord. He said, okay, hear now, Israel. If ye weary men, will ye also weary the Lord? Say, because you did not ask for a sign, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive. It's a paradox. It's a contradiction. The virgin shall conceive is grammatically incorrect, biologically incorrect, incorrect mathematically. In every sphere of universe is incorrect, unless if God wants to speak a sign. When they sent Moses to Egypt, God said, this rod, you will wrought signs with it. The Hebrew word for sign is ot, O-T-H. A sign is something that is a paradox also. As a matter of fact, when the people said in the book of Luke, so we have seen strange things today, when Jesus healed the paralytic, the Greek word is paradoxos. That is where you get the English word paradox. An obvious contradiction, something that confounds and defeats all reason. Signs. Now listen. There are people here today, according to this word, being a God, my God. God is saying to you, you will be a sign to your generation. That's where we are going. Lako separate gedika na brada gadash. Lekosh. I don't care where you are coming from. And I don't care what are the possibilities that exist. The word of God says that you will be a sign. That is defeating your mediocrity. Listen, and now I'm speaking against idols and altars that hold people down in limitation and obscurity. Reko shandale prakazutale bredegedia. I demand by this word your liberty and emancipation from every sphere of mediocrity tonight.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I demand the power of this word, your immediate release from any covenant of limitation tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will be a sign to your generation. Listen, if somebody who is a sign is a bewilderment, people can't comprehend you. You defeat their reason, you confound their sense, you can't be ignored. You matter. Now, this sign, I only showed you signs in terms of divine manifestation of power. It's not limited. It's limited to X. It's not limited to that sign. It also includes exploits of living, works and result. I mean, people that cannot be denied that they exist. A force in the universe. A power in the world. You, I decree it upon you as a covenant on your forehead that in your generation you will be a sign. This word will not fail in your life.
Amen.
He said, I and the children, everyone, that is why you see yesterday, I derived why some of you come here and you start having some signs of mysteries around your life. Signs go on around your life. Some don't even know when they pick it up. They just find out it starts happening. It's because you are drawing and deriving an experience from a genealogy, from a generation, from a grace that draws forth. Listen, I came to pronounce that word over you. You know, I said to you that you can enter destiny in Christ when the word is revealed to you. So, I come in that capacity by God as a steward of the mysteries of God, and one to whom who can unseal by God's grace the revelation of his word and create an opening for men to enter and be transformed by the same word. So I am not reading it over you, I'm pronouncing it over you from a disposition in Christ. You, for as long as you live in this world by God in Christ, nothing shall fail. You will be a sign and a wonder to your world. Father, we give you praise. What does this mean when you are a sign? You become the giver of light. You become the direction. You are a reference. You are a bearing. A person of weight, repute, capacity, and doxa, like the Greek will say. Kabod, like the Hebrew will say. Somebody who speaks forth. When people come around you, they can see the light of God inside you. They can see the star of the kingdom shining forth from you. Jesus was a sign. Everybody who came in contact with him had something to go back with. It's either they were heavily displeased or they were tremendously changed. They couldn't be indifferent. They sent people to arrest him in John chapter 7. They came back and told the people that sent them, said, we have never seen a man speak like that. They said, oh, are you also being deceived? People they sent to arrest him came back empty-handed. When they saw him, both their handcuff and their intention all failed together. They all failed alike. They came in contact with a sign out of heaven. Forever as you live, I pronounce this covenant of God over you. Forever as you live. Forever as you live. God said in Genesis chapter 9. He said, behold, I set my bow in the sky, the rainbow. He said that whenever I see it, that I may not bring a flood that will destroy the earth. So God put a sign. The rainbow is a statement. It brings to remembrance to God and to the kingdom the things that he has said. Revelation chapter 10 showed us that rainbow that was in the sky, a living being was wearing it on his head like a crown. You didn't see it. He said, and then I saw a great angel came from heaven. He said he was clothed with the cloud, and on his head was the rainbow. He wore the crown of the covenant. This is why I'm pronouncing on you a prophetic word. I'm pronouncing on you an ordination from heaven. That this covenant of Isaiah 8:18 will rest as a crown on your forehead.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Which means literally as you proceed through your life, what will be read over you is this one is a sign. This one is to exist as a sign. What it means is he's a wonder. What will be detailed about him will cause bewilderment. Will cause the hearts of men to be confounded. What manner of man is this? Really, we see that God is true in you. You know, the prophets prophesied, they say, certain men will take hold of the skirt of him. Seven will take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. He said, lead us, we want to follow you, for we have seen that God is in you. There are many of you. Your life will be a sign that there is such a God in heaven. Now listen, people don't know what glory is. It is in your life they will understand glory. We had a vision some time ago, 2017, and we saw it clearly. There are many that it is through your life people will understand when they say the glory of God. Some persons, it is through some men's life you knew what it meant when they say people walked in the power of God. I mean, bones, signs are going on, bones are being healed, and people are hearing the rattling of bones. That is, I'm telling you what happened in a meeting in Argentina. Somebody is prophesying and praying over bone conditions, and bones were being adjusted in people's body, and you could hear the rattling of adjustment. If they couldn't see it in the spirit, they could hear it in their ears that there is correction going on here. I'm provoking and pronouncing by this ordination of God a sign and a gift upon you. Isaiah 8:18. My God, you will remain a sign to your generation. Today, he said, I and the children, you belong to that generation. 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 I decree and declare it over you. And right now, by reason of this word, I am now roasting by the fire of God every contrary thing around your life. All those small demons around pestering your life, today, by the fire of God's judgment, they are roasted away. You will never see them again. Never. Anyone here whose life is being contended with, and by reason of that, this prophetic word will be contended with. Every of such arrangement from the pit of hell that we want to stand against the fulfillment of God's word, today they all sink down. Down. He said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this one. When the zeal of God wants to act, there's no force under heaven that can resist it. Therefore, as the zeal of God is to perform this one, your life forever under God by Christ, as you live, will be signs. It will be a testament to your generation. It will be written about you. I and the children whom the Lord has given to me, we are for signs in Israel. You are a sign to your world from the Lord of hosts. From. It came from somewhere. And of course, we have been speaking from heaven. I'm praying over people. Just be sensitive, because these prophetic decrees are catching at the appointed places where they need to go and catch. I decree over your life, whatever has been a resistance to your destiny, whatever has hindered your life, right now, in the name of Jesus, it is over today, right now, today, right now. Whatever. Listen, you are to be, I've seen your destiny in Christ. I saw it clear. For as long as you are in God here in this generation, I've seen your destiny, the scope of it. What is the extent to which it can be? So I am here sent by God to ensure that you transit into it by revealing his word to you and enforcing it to come to pass through its administration and see that you walk in that reality. I am also sent by God to liberate a whole generation, if need be, to break off from ancestral powers, to break off from bondages, from the elements of the world, to break off from their carnal and natural ordinance that will seem to hold on to them, to break off and make the full migration to be in Christ Jesus. So I speak from the root of that calling tonight, sent to this generation. Anyone whose life is held bound by any form, whatever will stand to resist you from proceeding into the glorious destiny Christ has set for you, tonight, the word of God says, even the covenant with death will be disannulled. Tonight, by this word of God, and by the ordination of God through scriptures, through his word, that covenant is disannulled.
Amen.
Let out the handwriting of ordinances which were contrary to us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He himself be made a curse, for it is written, cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentile. Abraham existed as a sign. So today, I enforce on your life what has been written concerning you and the legislation of the courts from heaven, that liberty is yours in Christ. Therefore, anything that seems to put a question mark to the eternal word of God on liberty, today it is eroded by the move of this world in the name of Jesus. Now let me emphasize this. Not one person will live as a victim of mediocrity against their will. Yes, people can want to settle for mediocrity, but anyone who desires to make a leap, I saw it that anybody can be anything, anyone can rise. See it, sir. Peter, you are there. That is when we saw it, was when we began to say in those years, there are many possibilities in Christ. You can be anything. I saw it that anyone can be anything. He said it is to them whom the word of God came. He called them gods. He said, "Ye are gods. All of you are children of the Most High." You see that word, children again. Jesus now said, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, it is to anyone that God's word came to that was promoted to be referred to as a god. So anyone can rise. James, John, Abel, whatever is your name, anyone can rise. It's like that ATM card that I said is a blank card. Anyone can belong to anybody. It is what they coded into it that makes it your own. You go to the bank, the ATM cards are stuck on the desk. They pick anyone and then program your details to it and give it to you, it becomes yours. Anyone can be anything. And we all have equal possibilities in Christ Jesus. We were redeemed by the same price, blood of the Son of God. So we were bought equally alike. It is our personal adventure that determines what will be our eventual result. So you can be anything. Doesn't matter what you are now. So I'm decreeing and declaring that anything that seems to put a question mark to you being anything in Christ, today it expires. If it is a wizard, an uncle, any agent of the devil, if they refuse to let you go tonight, they will die within 7 days. Amen. My God. God sent Moses with a sign. If they won't let these people go, slay their firstborn. He said, tell Pharaoh, Israel is my first son. Let him go or I kill your first son. It was that serious. It was a family affair. Right now, it's a family affair. I and the children. So any satanic force that won't let you go, they are tying for 7 days. If after 7 days they are still holding on, they will die without trace. They will Amen. Die without trace. My God.
Amen.
Any satanic agent that will not let you go, won't let you go, won't let you go, won't let you go, demonic manipulation, witchcraft, oppression, prognostication, all manner of signs and omen, today their death has been set. If they fail to let you go, 7 days they have left the earth. 7 days they have left the earth. Is it like when I prophesied, he fell down and died? And he said, oh Lord, will you make an end of Israel? He said, no, these men have done wickedly. Under this prophetic unction, my God, this administration of God's word, anyone that will not let you go tonight, 7 days exactly, they fall down and die. They will not rise up again. Is that serious?
Amen.
God has sent for you to be raised, to do the work of the kingdom in the earth. If anything we attempt to stay it, my God, it is crushed out of the way. He said, the stone, if it falls on you, you are powder. If you fall on it, you are pieces. Either way is offensive today. The price on your head for anyone that comes on you is death for them. Amen. So I declare your zone untouchable. Any oppression that comes near you is death they are looking for. Say, touch not my anointed. Don't do my servant harm. Because if you try it, the zeal of the Lord will wipe them off. Today, I covenant you by God to Isaiah 8:18. Signs and wonders to your world. Nothing on earth stay it against your will. Father, I'll give you praise. Go ahead, give God praise. Worship Him. Thank Him.
Father,
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
Father, we worship
You.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. We have 8 minutes to the end of our time. Let me say this as we are closing. God sent us with a prophetic word. He said, there will come a rise of kingdom structures in the earth. I said, what is this? He said, the kingdom is not to reveal. See, let me tell you. The church of God is to reveal the kingdom. The church of God is to be expressed, to be an expression of the kingdom. But the church of God is not all there is to the kingdom. Let me say, people think the church of God is, no. When you read the assembly in Hebrews chapter 12, you will see that they say you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the innumerable company of angels. You said, you now see, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. So they separated the category of angels from the church. The Greek word for church there is ecclesia. That is, inside the assembly on Mount Zion, there are a group of people that are the called ones of God. So that separates to you the church. So the church is an expression, because the current structure of the church, the angels will not have a place because they are not redeemed by the blood. The church comprises of those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now we have the order of the seraphim, the cherubims, the ophanims, and then all the mysteries that occupy heaven. Now listen, The glory of God is not to be revealed to the church. The Bible says the glory of God shall cover the earth, not the church. So he said there will be structures that will arise that will reveal the fullness of the glory of God. If we want to move by revival and we want to only do things within church setting, let me tell you, the world is not in the church. No. If you want to take the glory of God to the world, you get out there. But like I said to you, some of you are not in church today. You will not be in church on Monday, I believe, even Tuesday till Friday. Now tell me, how will you reveal the glory? It then means that the glory will have to come out of that of the kingdom and take on a form that all men will see. So he said, structures will reveal the kingdom. God. Which is why I began to say, people who you are, who you say God has called you, he didn't call you to go and start church and stand on a pulpit. Your calling is for the glory of God. You need instructions because you see a vision in your heart. You want to start up an enterprise, but you don't understand. You still sense a calling. That enterprise is your calling, but you lack the wisdom to build it with that orientation. So at some time ago, we started a school of industry, but we couldn't continue with it for some arrangement. So I'm telling you this because in 2 weeks' time, we'll have an assembly called an assembly of structures. And it is our intention to bring all those of you who have visions, enterprises, businesses already, and who already have the vision. I will show you and teach you how to build the glory outside of what is called the typical church environment. Jesus, he raised dead on the street. I will show you that the glory of God is for the whole creation and that God himself is a public figure. To you, God is the God of the whole earth, not the God of the whole churches. Let me say that again. He is the God of the whole earth, not the God of the whole churches. All the earth is the God of creation, not just the God of the ecclesia. Jesus is Lord over all the kings of the earth, both the saved and the unsaved. All the nations are his inheritance, even the Islamic ones. Now what are you saying? So the assembly of structures, you will be shown how to build glory in your ordinary life. Your business will be a sanctuary. Angels will ascend and descend. You will see that Daniel was not a prophet in him. He was a prophet who worked in the government. He's like a prophet that is a senator. That's who Daniel is. Imagine a prophet as a Senate president. He will see all the legislation from heaven. Daniel was the first among the three ranks. They wanted to set him over the other two so that he head over the whole princes. And of course they did. But he was a prophet. He saw angels out of heaven. He saw ranks. He saw Michael, the Archon, the angel that it was reported that he went with Moses' body. Daniel saw him too. But he was a senator. Or what do you call it? The president of the Senate. That is number two in the nation. Jesus is Lord. Joseph was also in government. But he was also a prophet. He walked with wisdom. These people you read daily were not within the ecclesiastical setting. They had their ordinary life. Abraham was a businessman. So also was Job. If we want to reveal the fullness of it, why are we not talking technology? We use prophetic gift to see people's name and number. Or God use it to see inventions too. Use it to build new kinds of computer systems in place. Use it to create new kinds of understanding out of it. The prophetic gift doesn't have limit. It depends on the posture of your heart, how you will see. Your prophecy is showing you things about people. That's good. Use it to create machineries. It is written about the man Tesla, Nikola Tesla. He said is the man credited with, oh my God, read about him. Is the company Tesla, who is now headed by Elon Musk, was named to honor him. Yes, Tesla. If you read about him, he was gifted that he could calculate and do calculus in his mind. He himself said that his inventions come to him as visions. The man had a terrible idea. He wanted to use the whole earth to conduct electricity. How can somebody conceive that? Because his idea, he noted that there was a deflection in the magnetic poles. which indicated that there was such an electric charge. So he was building a device that will communicate electricity wirelessly. He wanted to use the whole earth as his conductor. He had no religious inclination per se, but he had visions and gifts. He would see inventions. He worked them up his mind. Why you don't hear so much of him is that he was not a good businessman, because he gave away money and did things for free. But as to the matter of invention, the telecommunication by electromagnetic means, he started the original thing. He remotely built a boat that he used remote to drive the boat. He demonstrated before a crowd. My God. Unbelievable. The visions came to him. His prophetic gift was seeing inventions. Like I said to us, that there are different levels of prophetic civilization. People operate prophecy out of the spirit of God. They were also the prophets of Baal. They were operating prophecy out of another spirit. Either ways, they were still seeing things. You think all the inventions of earth on earth came from experiment by empirical knowledge? No. Some came by leaps. Advances in the field of quantum physics, they didn't come by experiment, they came by revelation. My God. How did Einstein discover his theories of gravity? You think he did experiment? The experiments were done after he had already conceived the theories, and they confirmed, which is why we said that Einstein prophesied to science. He didn't do experiments. It came to him by intuition. And he said, do this. The experiments were to confirm his theory. Initially, experiments were made so that theories can be propounded or founded. He reversed the order. You know, when you do experiment like Galileo's theory, Galileo, when he did experiments in mechanics, he now derived theories and the laws of mechanics. When Newton gave his observation and saw and did calculations, then he came up with his theories. Einstein reversed it. He gave his theory and then left them to do experiments. My God. Why? The mind of God is full of God. These are God's creation they are discovering. So if you have prophecy, use it. Let that gift not be limited to seeing people's problems. Let it be creative. Prophecy by design is creative. In the beginning, God created. You also, in your own life, you will create. So we are having that to open up reality, to show you that God is not the God of the whole churches alone. He's the God of all creation and the Lord of all wisdom. All wisdom. Not all your inventions came by experiments. The structural formula for benzene is discovered by Kekule. It didn't come because he experimented. It came in an epiphany. An epiphany. My God. My God. What about Ramanujan, the Indian mathematician? He derived formulas and sent to J.H. Hardy of the Royal Mathematics Society in his days that confounded the mathematicians in UK until they had to import him from India. When he came, they had problem with him. He is as though they give him an equation. He just writes the answer directly. Just directly. And he came and started addressing equations in mathematics and series and expressions that professors and leading mathematicians in his days couldn't solve. I saw one of his equations. I say, very unusual way of addressing problems. And so he spent most of his time in the UK trying to prove solutions that he has solved, because he gives them the answer. They say, this answer is correct. Say, but how do you know it? He said, I just think of it. Then it comes to me. He said, sometimes before I wake up, I see scrolls open up before me and I see mathematical equations. He was worshipping one Hindu goddess. Now, those lower devils were fetching him insight into mysteries. In case you don't know, the structure of the universe has a mathematical equation. Galileo has already confirmed that God wrote the universe code in mathematics, which is what gave birth to the Fibonacci series, the golden ratio system. How that they see that there is a... See, let me tell you, one of the greatest arguments for God's existence in the world of science is what is referred to as the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics in creation. That there is a fixed order within the universe that obeys a consistent law. Galileo has said that the language of the universe, God wrote it in mathematics. So these lower demons were feeding this guy with insight to mathematics. Insight to mathematics. Insight to mathematics. Let me tell you, Nicholas Kepler, who discovered the law of planetary bodies, and he discovered that their orbit followed a system of, the equation is constant from one planet to another. He was a priest. So let me tell you, the science people have discovered, how can one equation, is as though I wrote something for you and you can see that it is consistent throughout the cadre. It is suspicious. It means when somebody did it intentionally. You know, when you come to your house and see something that is a product of accident and something that is a product of intentionality, you will know. You say, this thing is somebody that did this thing. This one is not. I mean, you came to your house and then you found out that a Coke bottle is standing on the head and the bottom is upwards. The chances that he fell from the table and remained like that is a lie. If it falls, it will break. But yet, here it is standing on the slim side. It defies all the laws of physics. Because the chances that it will land and the boat weight will be balanced is contrary, because the force that dropped it didn't have another. But Kepler discovered it. Let me tell you the story of Kepler. He used years to think that the planets orbited as circles. It was in one moment of intuition, because he believed that God imposed order on the universe, that he said this thing follows an ellipse. Some may not understand what I'm talking about. I'm telling you that there are still signs in creation that will be discovered. Your prophetic gift is an access. Jesus is Lord. When I say signs, there are signs in that direction. You may not raise the dead, but my God, raise up inventions from their hiding place. Well, that's just to tell us that there'll be such a meeting as the assembly of structures. To that day, it is my intention that heaven will come down. You will see things that day. Jesus is Lord. I've stirred up your pure minds that there is no limit to your life. Everyone proceeding in their ranks. Those who are for finance, go and get all the billions that exist in that market and use it for work. Money is not an end, it's a means. You will have the access. Those who are for medicine, there are discoveries in that direction. Discoveries in that direction. I read to someone the story of a doctor from Nigeria who was the first to take out a fetus in the womb, that is, a baby who was still in the mother's womb. Scan had showed that he was going to have a deformity. So he led a team of doctors, took out the baby out of the mother's womb. Oh, Jesus. Operated and corrected it by surgery, replaced the baby in the womb, covered the womb back, sealed it. They delivered the boy normal. There are still signs in creation. It will be a sign and a wonder to your world. I'm showing you pathway now. Pathway. David was making musical instruments. He said that we praise the Lord with the instruments I have made. If you are for music, don't go and reinvent what has been. Oh God, show us a new way in Christ. Are they not new every morning? Great is his faithfulness. Why do we pretend like there's no more new stuff? There's plenty where that came from. Like the Americans will say, if God has showed you one level of grace, there's still plenty where that came from. See, if you remain the way you are like this, you didn't fulfill destiny in Christ. It didn't mean you won't go to heaven. But when you go to heaven, you will see that your reward is small, because you never entered life. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and said, you have entered the second stage of your ministry. This was after 15 years. He said, Lord, after 15 years, I'm entering the second stage. He said, some never enter the first stage. God, I wonder how many stages you are in now. I wonder how many we are in now, or you are in now. See, if you are going to be a sign to your world, but it's not like you just go and shout sign. It's a lie. The works of Christ through you will prove that you are a sign. I'm showing you extents that exist. I'm showing you possibilities that exist. My God. My God. It was said concerning Benjamin Franklin. Did I say Benjamin Franklin? paradise. He had little education, but he was a preacher. You can't do electricity without Faraday's. Faraday's is still founded as one, is still repeated as one of the principal founders of electricity. Let me tell you, before they found electricity, electricity is in the human body. There's what is called rest potential. Your body communicates with electricity. You have wire. Before Faraday's discovered the electrical property that existed and how to generate it, God had used electricity to create humans. There are still mysteries in creation. If you can't raise the dead, raise the wisdom out. You'll still be created alive. We read about Joseph. Joseph did not heal the dead. Joseph did not raise the dead, did not heal the dead. What he did was to feed the nation. He left us a sign that you can preserve food for 14 years and fed the whole nation when nothing was growing. That was enough to leave his name in the hall of fame of heaven. So you don't have to raise the dead in your lifetime. There are many people who have raised the dead, they have been forgotten. Impact that will last will be a sign and a wonder to your generation. Impact that will last. Impact that will last. Neither did Daniel. Daniel, there was no sign of raising the, but there were supernatural occurrences in his life. Unbelievable. He's the one that somebody will dream, he will recount the dream and interpret it and number it for him. You don't see this. There is no limit to this kingdom. You have limited it to one section. No, God is saying, break down these walls. I have not raised them. My glory will cover the earth, not the churches. The earth, the earth, the earth. Today I'm still stirring up your pure minds. Go and see all the possibilities that exist in your life. And if you are for business, be a sign. If you are in ministry, of course, be a sign. And by ministry, I mean the work of ministry in its essence. If you are for science, be a sign. If you are in computers, be a sign. Let me tell you, maybe I should stop telling you now. Jesus is Lord. Give God praise. Thank you. Let me also announce, this was an announcement, by the way. It's the meeting I was trying to, we're trying to announce the meeting. Let me also say that we have now an Instagram, there has been an Instagram page for this platform, and it's bearing just a name, not exactly. You won't see Kingdom Global Network on it unless you see the, is it profile picture they call it, or DP, display picture, whichever one is they now use, and you see the contents. Please find it and follow it. Think the admins will do well in that direction to drop the link. And then when we post up reels, also share it. The intention for this is to grow global. Jesus is Lord. My God. I'm praying for you tonight that the God of all creation, who is the author of all signs and wonders, the apostles prayed in Acts chapter 4. He said, grant to your servants that signs and wonders may be done through their hands by your Son Jesus Christ. As I have pronounced that covenant on you today, I decree, indeed, it shall come to pass in your life. Jesus is Lord. Congratulations. Father, we thank you. Receive the praise of your glory. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a part of this weekend's roundtable. I know it took a form and a shape that is unlikely, but it's from glory to glory. What we are saying is, if by 10 years from now, I will know if you passed, I will see the works of Christ in you. I pray in 10 years' time, you'll be living at the other side of this world, walking in the reality of these words. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Well, download also messages. If you are new on the platform, please, there are messages you have to download. The Knowledge of God, the Fellowship of Heaven's Mysteries. Two messages you must get, part one and two. Go and fellowship with the Knowledge of God and then the Fellowship of Heaven's Mysteries. You need to hear those two messages. And then you'll get a wind of what goes on here. Fellowship with the impartations. Jesus, Lord, God bless you. Thanks again. Father, we thank you for tonight. Receive the praise of the glory. Thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen.